Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of SNP Schneider-Neureither & Partner SE regarding the presentation of the Q3 results 2020. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Christoph Marx, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you, operator. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our conference call on our Q3 2020 results. As you might have seen, we published this morning the report as well as the corresponding press release. Both of those documents can be found, as usual, on our investor relations website under the section Financial Publications. For that matter, you will also find the corresponding presentation we prepared for this call, which we would like to hint you to. Today, we've gathered again our CFO, Heiner Dieffenbach, as well as our COO, Michael Eberhardt, who will give you some more details on the results we published and on the future developments that we see for us and in the market. Yeah. With that being said, I would like to hand over to you, Michael.
Okay. Thank you, Christoph, for the introduction, and welcome to our analyst and investor call here today. I think we all have seen a very interesting time in our last quarter in Q3, which is first time of all of us, a quarter which was somehow different compared to all of the rest of the year with the COVID challenges. On the other side, I'm very pleased, and we are very pleased what we could achieve so far. That means everything what we invested in the history really worked very well also in the time where we delivered most of our work purely digital to our customers. I will jump directly to page number three of the presentation. I hope that you get access to our homepage or you have downloaded the presentation already. What are the main topics for the first nine months in 2020, what we did achieve so far? Overall, our revenue trend is still positive quarter-over-quarter, month-over-month, and we are slightly ahead of last year in the full year, even if we have seen some challenges when we only look afterwards in Q3. Heiner will give you an update more in detail about the financial numbers. Our partner strategy works pretty well. We are still able to sign new customers, new partners around the world. We have a good mix between global partners, really, let's say, big system integrators, big hyperscalers, but also smaller local partners. For example, an exclusive partnership in Pakistan, and a partner who is a leading partner, for example, in Greece, which approached us to organize and to sign a partnership to help them for S/4HANA transformation in their local markets. We also made a big step forward in Asia in total and in Japan in specific by signing a deal with Fujitsu and some smaller partners in the Asia-Pacific market to accelerate our growth in this area, which is important for us because a lot of, let's say, European companies are also in this market, and we need to serve these customers when they go towards Asia-Pacific or specific in the Chinese market. With the hyperscaler and specific with Microsoft, we made a good move to support our common customers much stronger for the move in the cloud. I think most of you have seen the SAP announcement a couple of days ago, and this move is really important for us to help SAP and make our company great as well in moving the SAP workload in the cloud. The cloud, when we talk about the cloud, this is the public cloud on the one side, and also we are in deep discussion with SAP how we can support SAP to move workloads in the private cloud. The underlying technology is, in both cases, very often Microsoft or Amazon on the other side, and we are in deep discussion with both partners. With Microsoft, we have now an agreement. We have a piece of software which differentiates us very much from the analyze phase until the transformation phase, where we believe we can really make a big difference also in this embrace partnership between Microsoft and SAP. We hired a new country or regional MD for our US business, a guy who really helped us not only to accelerate our growth in the US, but to fix the problem and the challenges we had with IBM in this area. Tom is now with us since 8 weeks. He was 4 weeks as a consultant, 8 weeks now as a permanent employee. And the result we see right now already in building up the right pipeline in the way how we structure the business together with IBM is really like day and night. So I am very pleased about the progress here and how we move towards a strong growth in the U.S. Hopefully, let's say everything will be stable after this election as well in a couple of days. So then we see in total a pipeline which is increasingly. We see some more momentums after the summer break. Summer break was really hard. So August and the first half the second half of July was a really strange time. Most customers disappear totally, very, very limited customer access and nearly no decisions in the market. But since September, we see new opportunities coming up, and we signed a couple of deals the last 4 weeks, new deals, new opportunities with new customers and also new partners. So I look forward, let's say, in a much better way for our Q4 performance as well. The good thing is we did a significant amount of go-lives with customer remotely, totally remotely, or at least primarily remotely, and our customer satisfaction is very high. And our employee satisfaction is also in a good mode. So I see the challenge, what we have around the world, to keep the people motivated, to really get focus. At the same time, we did a couple of actions, implementations, campaigns for our employees so that we interact with them. We have direct conference calls with all employees, where we go through our strategy, what did we achieve, where do we need the help. We are open for Q&As, and we also have a common move campaign, which means, okay, twice a week we offer our employees an exercising call where we are all unified to get some movements and some, let's say, interaction between different regions and different people. Overall, I can say in this call, we confirm our outlook for 2020. And we are also slightly positive for 2021, even after the new challenge now with the lockdown or partly lockdown here in Central Europe and all the big negative feedback we receive regarding COVID around the world and specific in Europe. And then we are very excited. In next week, we have our big Transformation World 2020. You can inform yourself through the link you see below. This event will be totally digital. It is one of the, it's the first event where we do everything totally digital, very close in my alignment with a lot of partners from us. We are very engaged together with partners. We are on stage together with partners, together with customers, a lot of references, and you see a very good mix all about data transformation and how can we help our customers to make this business great and fast and help the customer to be faster on their digital journey. So I'll move to the next slide, slide number 4. What did we sign so far? Heiner will give you a detailed update about the final number, just two numbers. I think you are highly interested in our partner business. Overall, I can say the signing with the partners and the way how we increase steadily the order entry and the sales we do together with our partners is absolutely okay. We see some challenges in the partner enablement area. This was underestimated, I would say, from nearly everybody here or all of us. But we have now implemented a couple of measures, which I can introduce afterwards to you, which should solve this problem to get not only signing the deal with partners, but really winning new customers together and get this business to grow. And the good thing is, the challenge is identified. We have agreement with a couple of partners. We have we did countermeasures. We implemented countermeasures, and we are already in the implementation phase, so that the result should pay off very soon. On the right side, you see a couple of logos where we did some additional business. Some of them are already good known. So we have IBM as a one of our first, the biggest partner. We signed a very nice deal with Fujitsu. We signed the partner agreement with Wipro. We had this announcement with All for One, which is really paying off very good. With Share, we signed just recently a deal to really focus together on S/4HANA transformation. And then this actually at the end on the bottom is this partner which is focusing on Greece, and Abacus is the partner who signed an exclusivity agreement with us for the Pakistani market in this area. So it's a mix of smaller partners and bigger partners, and we have very interesting conversations going on right now with some more big partners, which is under NDA, so I will not name it, but what I can assure you is we are seen in the market. They understand what we can contribute, and we get every day we get something like 5 to 10 partner opportunities. We are engaging together with partners, and I personally believe this will, let's say, be our maybe biggest road to market for 2021. So on the left side again, we signed 23. We delivered 23.5 million revenue through the partner channel as of today, which is only 22% of our revenue, but it's steadily increasing. And you see on the right side, we see in the middle we have also signed 44 million order entry in with partners, which is now roughly 32% of our signing. And this also was a year ago, we had something like 25%. So we moved towards the right direction. And if we solve this problem with the partner enablement, which means, okay, get the partner skilled up for our software, skilled up for our engagement model, getting the value proposition in front of the customer, do co-delivery and co-selling, then I think the growth can really accelerate here significantly. So with that, I would hand over to Heiner, and Heiner will give you a more financial update.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. This is Heiner Diefenbach here. Also from my side, welcome to our third quarter presentation. And as presented in the first and second quarter, we are still on our journey to transform from a service into a software company. And we are quite successful in establishing more recurring or subscription revenue and pushing our indirect sales. You can see on slide number 6, we were able to generate 37.6 million of revenue. This was driven mainly by software, because we have 3 million less revenue in the service arena. I will come to that in a minute. Nevertheless, we are able really to present a 7% increase on the top line for the first 9 months in total, which generates us 106 million of revenue compared to almost 100 million last year. The journey into a software-driven company is really underlined that we were able to recognize 33% of our revenue is really software, which was 31% last year compared to last year. And if you compare that to the last quarter, where we were at 28 or 26 in the first quarter. So we are increasing our percentage in software revenue significantly. We are also able, or the shift into the higher software revenue had a positive impact on our gross margin. And you can see that our EBIT figures in Q3 were 5 million positive, and this will lead us to a slightly positive number for the first 9 months. And we still have, of course, something to go to achieve our guidance, which is a mid-single-digit margin. But if we going to deliver pretty much the same as we were able to deliver in Q3, we will be there for sure. And we can see already in the pipeline and the underlying business development that we will definitely achieve that. We are really positive about this. If we now go to slide number 7. And please keep in mind that we also keep investing a lot in our R&D and in our sales organization. So therefore, we had an increase in our personal expenses by 16%. You can see in the software segment, we had, despite the fact that last year we were showing a significant major deal, we were still able also to achieve or slightly overachieve our Q3 sales figure from last year. And we were able to overachieve by 5 million in software revenue for the full year, which I believe is quite a good achievement. And having said that, we're going to invest in R&D and pretty much also in the partner sales, we see a slight reduction in our EBIT for the software segment. Going to the service segment on slide number 8, because we have seen, in especially in quarter 3, a lot of our customers, they closed, for example, their production plant, they went on short-time work, or a lot of decisions were postponed, or kickoff of projects were postponed. So therefore, we had a drop of 3 million in the service sales. Nevertheless, we are still above the year before in the first 9 months with over 70 million. And we were able, because of cost reduction, for example, we were able to show a better EBIT figure for the full year per end of December, end of September, of 1.5 million, which is quite a good improvement in the service arena. If we now go to slide number 9, you can see here our balance sheet. We are really bullish about the balance sheet. Is it very healthy balance sheet. You can see we have a strong cash position, and also our own capital situation is quite good. For the own capital situation, we were by the quarter 2 at 36%. We are now at 46%, mainly because of the capital increase we were driving in July 22. Our focus, and I will come to the cash flow statement on slide number 10. Our focus, as I explained in the last telco, is really cash collection, cost reduction, and working capital management. And you can see really the continuous positive development on this area. We have, despite the growing top line, really an improvement in our working capital. You can see that our operating cash flow is positive after 9 months. I think this is the first time for a couple of reporting periods that our operating cash flow is really positive. And the investing cash flow, that's mainly because we spent 20 million and put that on a good cash deposit. Maybe we're going to get a question afterwards. We do not pay negative interest rates, by the way, and the financing cash flow is also positive. So I believe we can really show and demonstrate that our efforts around about the cash flow management really pays off. On slide number 11, you can see the order intake and the order entry situation. And despite the high level of order intake in Q3 2019, we were almost there compared on the software arena for the 9 months in total. We do have also a really good order intake in the service area. And in total, we have a backlog of almost 100 million, of which 31 million is software and 67 million is service. So I think we are really ready to deliver what is necessary to achieve our guidance by the year end. Nevertheless, of course, as I explained before, we have seen in quarter 3, based on the COVID slow decision making and, of course, postponing of the projects. Funny enough, we see only postponing, but not so many cancellations of projects. And maybe Michael can give later on a more insight on this, but our customers and the pipeline, we don't lose the prospects, it's just a postponement. Therefore, the business might not be gone. On slide number 12, we will give a short overview about our current shareholder structure because a lot happened. If you compare that last quarter, we had 8% of the shares were sitting with the company Agrosa and 4% were sitting with Universal Invest. In total, 12%. You can see two new major shareholders. One is Wolfgang Magier. The other one is an investment company called Luxempart. In total, they have roughly spoken 6%, so which means that 6% of the 8% Agrosa and Universal Invest of 4 or so 6% are added to the free float, and therefore the free float has increased up to 65% compared to the last quarter. Having said this, I would give back to Michael.
Okay, thanks, Hanno. So let me just go to the last slide, which is slide number 14. As Hanno already said, our outlook is unchanged, and we see that we will trend and we will deliver what we have set at the beginning of the year. Our pipeline is slightly increasing. We see some challenges on the speed side. So we recognize that we need more time to get the things finally agreed with the customer and get it signed. We will sign in a couple of days a bigger deal with a utility company, where we have now roughly 3 months in negotiation by phone to get this really done. So this is something which is not concerning, but it takes more time to get the things negotiated in a digital way. That's something which we really learned. So that means timing and focus is even more important to get the things done. But overall, the fundamentals, the market, and the transformation in the market to move towards the digital agenda is totally given. And I think all our key areas, the move to the cloud, the S/4HANA upgrade, which you have seen from SAP, this is slightly slowing down. We see a lot of, let's say, customer asks. We see a lot of customers asking right now for getting an offer to for their budgeting process in 2021, what this will cost to move their business to the new platform S4, for example. So that means, at least looking forward, I believe that this business will really accelerate as soon as this COVID is somehow more in a normal phase. So and then also the merchant acquisition, we see super great trends in terms of the challenge we have seen the last 9 months is driving a lot of focus on core business, which again drives more carve outs and merger and acquisitions at the same time, which is a very good business for us on the data transformation around SAP. For the regions, I would say when I look to all the regions, we see the JPEG region is ahead of us. So COVID is not gone there, but they are starting now with summertime. We see a very good trend, for example, in ANZ, Australia. We have a couple of very big opportunities. We see good business in the Japanese market. We see a good business in the US. We still have some challenges in the UK, which is, I think, maybe a double problem. One is COVID, the other is maybe, let's say, the carve out of the European Union. And our partner pipeline is growing continuously, not only with one single partner, but really broadly. On the same time, I would say the partner business is good in acquiring new partners. I'm not totally happy right now how we generate new customers together with our partners. So when I go to the right side, the partner enablement is our key focus. As I said before, what do we do? We have invested now a lot of time and also some money in digitalizing also our learning. We have some improvements. We have agreed the last 4 weeks how we can improve our software to make it, let's say, easier to get our partner trained on this platform and that they can reuse this. And at the same time, we offer and we even force our partner to go more in a co-selling and in the co-delivery model for the first 5 to 10 opportunities, so that we use, let's say, training on the job to get the partner set up and get the skill set on the right level. At the same time, when you look to the partner, we for sure see a pushback. For example, when you go to partners like IBM, Accenture, and the big system integrator, they have all hundreds of thousands of people in India or in some offshore center, and COVID has taken away some of the business. That means they have intent a trend to go for more people utilization, and our software-based automation and software-based transformation is maybe not on the highest priority at that point of time. That means we see a little bit of a change behavior driven by COVID on the partner side. But this is nothing which really worries us too much, because this will be a short-term effect at that point of time. We get this feedback from partners directly. We see it in the behavior, but this is something at least which hits us in Q3, and I think it will also partly hit us in Q4. So that's something which is real, and we need to get around this challenge going forward. And then our virtual transformation world, we never had more partner engagements. We never had more engagements from customers. That means everybody is really looking forward for this conference. And as I said, this is a total digital conference where we believe we really do something which is unique for a size of a company like S&P going forward. On the innovation side, I think we just echo what SAP said. The move to the cloud is significantly. It is real. It is all kind of cloud. So strong partners for us are Microsoft for sure, number one, Amazon number two, IBM Cloud is getting, let's say, IBM is investing a lot of money in this cloud, and IBM is using our partnership also to get more traction in the move of real SAP workload towards the IBM Cloud. We do business with Google, and we also have discussions with Alibaba, but we also talk to local providers. For example, here in Germany, Schwarz IT, the IT service center of Lidl and Kaufland, they announced 12 months ago a Stack IT, which is, let's say, something like a German-based cloud. We talked to Deutsche Telekom with their cloud. So, but the main part are the big hyperscaler, and the main part are SAP themselves, because for sure, when Christian Klein announced that he will focus more on getting the workload to the cloud, this is and SAP, we have very close talks with SAP. They see the advantage of our selective data transformation capability to support the SAP journey here going forward. I think that could be something which really can make a big difference in 2021, but it's still a work in progress and nothing to announce right now. And then COVID-19, overall, I would say it's not an easy time for nobody. We are not impacted, let's say, significantly by that we need to close down some of our centers. Our investment in our DTC and in our digitalization of our processes really paid off during this time. As Heiner said, we see a couple of customer projects where we signed the deal, but we did not even start the delivery because the customer sent all people on short-term work, or at least they are not available at that point of time. On the other side, we also see now after the summer break, we see an increased ask of the projects which are restarting. We see that companies are investing more in their digitalization because they recognize that this crisis could be, let's say, longer as they expected. And we also see that, for example, this merchant acquisition, but also the move to the cloud, is participating through the COVID-19 challenge, because in such a crisis, you see your dependency on critical skills, on single people, for example, when you have a smaller enterprise. And then it's better to go to a highly automated cloud provider, which gives you more flexibility. And some of the, let's say, big retailer, for example, they recognize, okay, if I drive my business by myself, I have 100% of the cost. independent from the revenue development. If I go to a cloud provider, public cloud provider, I have more consumption-based model and my cost is more flexible. But this will only will work if I move my workload in a very optimized way towards the cloud. So that means I think we have in all different business scenario, we can offer as S&P a good answer to support the customer business. So COVID is a challenge, but it will not disturb us in a way that we cannot grow the company. We will maybe lose some momentum at that point of time. I'm not blind. I see the reality, but we are still on a good track. So with that, I think I hand back to you, Christoph, right?
Yes, thank you, Michael. Yeah, thank you both for the in-depth discussion of the talks. And I think, operator, we would now be open for the Q&A session.
Of course. Now we will begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad. Now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. Our first question is from Johannes Wies, Arbor Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello. You can hear me?
Yes.
Okay, maybe two questions regarding SAP. You discussed it in a couple of statements during your speech. Do I get it right that maybe given the trends SAP saw, which was a reason for this warning in brackets we have seen on Monday, that the management has even realized that things are moving faster and they see the greater needs for your product than ever, therefore maybe the talks and discussions with SAP has intensified in the last month, is that right?
Yep, we can. Yeah, I can confirm. We have very deep discussion with SAP right now regarding a couple of things. So it's also how can we help each other in a better way to move the workload faster towards the cloud. But we are also in discussion. We certified, for example, we have two T-shirt sizes. We had a certified solution now with SAP, a prepackaged solution, how we can help customers to get more automated to S4. And we also have discussion about okay, how can we optimize our selective data transformation engagement to really get a better outcome. One thing is, for example, to get our software, at least part of the software, certified from SAP, so that we get in some areas we still see pushbacks from the customer and from the SAP on the customer side. When we do, for example, big data transformation, because not all of our software is SAP certified at that point of time. So there is a lot of things, and I think this announcement from SAP will help us to get our really good relationship even in a better spot going forward.
That sounds very encouraging. You also mentioned that you see a lot of S4 customers, and if you read the Wirtschaftswoche from today, you also hear some statements that a lot of SAP customers are reluctant still to move to S4HANA, and the guys who even signed has not started the implementation. But what you said before, you see a lot of SAP customers who are willing after the COVID crisis to make this move. Is that right?
Let me echo the following. When you look to how this SAP environment is, let's say, organized right now, then I think in the history, the last 10 years, last 15 years, the big strength of SAP was this close relationship with all the partners we are also presenting. So that means all the big system integrator, they were a big bank for SAP, and SAP was a big bank for the system integrator. When I worked for IBM or for HP, it was nearly, let's say, the area where everybody earned money was SAP, around SAP. In the meantime, I think the things are more cost sensitive. Customers are, let's say, they need to get faster paybacks. You need to understand why should I do this move to S4, and what's in for me as a business, from a business point of view. And I think the way how, let's say, the big system integrator try to approach the customer with this greenfield approach, make everything new, go for a project which takes you 4 years. Maybe you spend $150 million to get to a new S4 platform. I think this is a threat for SAP at the same time. So what we see is, and that's really good, when you look to Accenture, for example, they just introduced a new name, which is SmartShift. IBM have this rapid move. Others are going for selective. Our name is Keep the Best, Transform the Rest, Bluefield. That means we see that the way the methodology to not to invest in to doing everything new, but just focus on the areas where you can make the biggest difference. Get fast on S4 with, let's say, keep what is great, but invest in the areas where you need to invest. And then it's more a journey and not a big bang. This behavior is changing in the market. It changed slightly. It was better before COVID because we had more. The challenge before COVID was, where do I get the resources? So everybody had problem to find the right people with the right skills. Now in COVID, suddenly they have the resources again. That means it's somehow like a swing. Mondays they think, okay, we should go for more greenfield. Tuesday they said, okay, but customers don't like greenfield because it's too expensive. We should maybe go for more selective. I personally believe this is only a matter of time, and then you will see that the maturity of the customer will go to a selective data transformation and selective transformation, because all the rest is waste of time and waste of money.
Okay, super. And final question. We also learned in the past that the software is maybe for some of your partners, you mentioned even the partner enablement has to improve. Maybe has to make easier to handle, easier to understand. So also you're on the way to make the software for the normal IT service guys easier to understand and handle. So for the acceptance higher and maybe to even improve the speed of the project. How much you proceed there on the product side to make the software more easier to use, let's say, in this way? Now,
let me describe it like this. We have three phases. We have the analyze phase, we have the transformation phase, and we have the verification phase.
Yep.
So in the when we are in the transformation phase and when we are in the verification phase with our mission control, which we have newly announced, We are really good now, and we get very positive feedback that this is working very well. And the way how a consultant is led through the software led by the software is really outstanding. And you are not allowed, for example, to go to the next step to start step four if step three is not everything green. So that is really, this mission control is really great. Where we have a challenge is when we do the analyze is super. We get very positive feedback from all the partners. This is, let's say, the best you can get within 24 hours. You get the most complex SAP system, totally transparent how it operates and how it is, let's say, structured and customized and this kind of things. That's all great. What we recognize is we go directly from the, as SMP, we can do this because we have all the knowledge. We go directly from the analyze phase to the technical transformation phase. And we have agreed just recently that we need to do a step between, because when you talk to partners, they have more business consultants between, and they are not technical. All the technical guys for big system integrators, they are all more or less home-based in any center in Asia-Pacific or in Eastern Europe. But the people in front of the customer, they are more business consultants. The business consultants do not have the technical understanding. That means we need to get something in like, and this was not my idea. This was built by our team, and we have a couple of great people here supporting the software team from the service side. So this is a joint approach. So what we do is we implement a business monitor between, so that we can help the customer. We can help the consultants from our partners to stay in their language and to lead with their language, not to adapt the people to the software, but the software to the people they are using the software. And this was something, this took a while to get this identified, this issue. So we had a couple of discussions with different partners. Now we are working on this business role cockpit. And then we have an analyze cockpit, we have a business role cockpit, we have this mission control, We have at the end the transformation cockpit, and this will be totally reported in a project management cockpit, so that the software will deliver, let's say, almost an end-to-end transparency for all kind of partners. So if you are techie, you can skip this business role cockpit, but if you are a business consultant, you start with analyze, you then go to the business role cockpit, to the mission control, to the transformation cockpit.
When will the cockpit all available?
I think the better, it's too early to say, but I would say between 3 and 6 months, we will have the first good usable version. And between, not to lose time, we said, okay, what we do is now we have asked one of our, a couple of people to build a single point of contact. That means we offer the partners to get directly in touch with something like 15 people, which are doing this, let's say, on a human being driven way. But when you are business consultants, you have done your analysis, and now the question comes up, so what do I do now? Then they can do a call home, and there's a team of S&P people which are supporting the partner to make this happen.
Super, great answer. Thanks a lot.
Our next question is from Holger Schmidt from Metzler Capital Markets. Please go ahead. The line is now open.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. The first one is on the IBM partnership. You mentioned there have been some difficulties. Could you elaborate a little bit more on these difficulties? Secondly, I believe that you expected to book some kind of revenues out of the IBM partnership in the third quarter. Can you give us some kind of indication with regard to the amount? And then my next question is on your partner business. I think in the first 9 months, the partner business contributed something like 22% to your software sales. How has the share been 1 year ago? And then the last question, you said that if we deliver a fourth quarter in line with the third quarter, then we are well on the way to achieve our guidance. I mean, if the fourth quarter would only be in line with the third quarter, then we are rather at the lower end than at the midpoint of the guidance. So how do you see that?
Okay, Heiner, you prepare the last two answer. I will start with the first two, okay?
Okay.
Good. So the IBM was our first big partner, the first big let's say system integrator, which signed up to a software deal together with us. And I'm not totally surprised about what we have seen so far. So we make some progress. I think we signed something like $4.5 million with IBM this year. But the plan was to be at the end of this year by $10 million. So what we did is we extended the contract by 1 year. So, which is the commitment is still given from IBM, no problem at all. But what kind of challenges did we see and what did we need to solve? First of all, the big system integrator, and this is not only IBM specific, they used in history two ways how to migrate. One was brownfield, the other one was greenfield. So brownfield means you change nothing, you just lift up the customer from ECC to S4. And then the greenfield is you move away everything and you just take the data which are, let's say, not closed. And all of the history you archive and you have no history, you don't need the history, you keep the data, let's say, in an archiving system. So now you try to change a company like IBM, this will not happen overnight. They introduced a rapid proof area, but we have seen that they still engage very much with this, let's say, in the both model, brownfield or greenfield. Then we implemented the center in Waldorf together, where we implemented, let's say, more dedicated resources, and this really brought up some success in this area. But still a lot of discussion about, okay, how do we engage and this kind of thing. So what we have done now to get this problem solved, we introduced a co-selling and a co-delivery team so that we have teams on both sides which are working together, and we have hired this Tom Rosinski, which is our regional MD in the US. And Tom was leading, he was a PVC partner. He worked, I think, 10 years for IBM, always in the SAP environment. He's one of the real senior guy very well appreciated by IBM in the IBM organization. He knows all the acting leader right now in IBM in this SAP environment. I know also most of the IBM leader, but not in the SAP environment. So, and Tom is really, let's say, a trusted person, and we can see that the change of the way how we engage and this people change is exactly how we make a big difference going forward. IBM is totally committed to this partnership. We just decided 3 or 4 weeks ago that we will do a specific task for IBM announced, that with, I think also their third quarter or something like this, a couple of 2 weeks ago. And you have seen that the cloud business was the business which grew fastest was the IBM cloud business. And our Keith Costello, who was the SAP leader for IBM, he introduced us to the cloud team and said, hey, you should really use the SAP technology to move SAP workload to the IBM cloud. So that means we are now broader. We are not longer only focusing on system integration. We are also focusing on getting SAP workloads in the cloud. So the plan was normally that we can show by the end of the year, beginning of next year, or by the end of Q3, the next tranche of 10 million software. This is delayed by 12 months. So this is not done. This will come. But in order to keep IBM motivated, we said, okay, we are okay to give us together 12 months more. And this was, let's say, this was maybe half of this was really a problem in the engagement model, which I explained how we solved this, and this is still not totally done, but we made good progress. And then it's also partly impacted by this COVID crisis. So that means we got the flexibility to extend the contract by 12 months, which is already agreed and signed with IBM.
Okay, Michael, should I take over number 3 and 4?
Yes, please. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So, Mr. Schmidt, so first of all, we established really the partner business almost a year ago, and we had in Q3 last year only one major deal, which was the IBM deal. And we established the reporting and recognition internally about what is partner business driven and anything else. We established the recognition really 1st of January. So therefore, I would say we had the deal last year and made major achievements compared to last year. About the forecast, you are right. And of course, if we achieve the same figures, we are at the lower end. And hopefully, of course, we can achieve more. But my point was really to underline that our guidance is correct, achievable, and that we will deliver what we have promised. And if we can deliver more, then it's fine. We will do so. But at the moment, I'm more the conservative guy. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Maybe a follow-up here. How do you see the service or the consulting business in the fourth quarter? Do you expect it to be above the third quarter or below? Just any indication here would be helpful.
I would guess we should be above, really. Yeah.
From a customer engagement only here in Central Europe, we have started a couple of bigger programs with really big companies like for example in Schwarz IT, Kaufland. We have a couple of very big engagements with companies like VW and BMW. We see a positive trend. What I can hardly estimate is what this new, let's say, partly lockdown, if this will have any impact about the behavior of the customers. But overall, I would agree what Heiner said. We should be in, let's say, above our Q3 result from a service point of view. Utilization and all the numbers, the backlog numbers, is trending towards a good upside.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question is from Bernd Blauk from Blackwell Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my question. I have one for the conservative guy. How much in terms of your contract assets is scheduled to be recognized as revenue in the fourth quarter, and how much will be taken into the next year? And then the other two questions are for Michael. You mentioned previously that Accenture has introduced a product or a solution called SmartShift. Does that rely in any way on modules or your entire Crystal Bridge or anything from SNP? And the second question for you is related to the Wipro partnership. When did you sign that? Is there any upfront commitment involved? And what are your expectations for that partnership? If you could that put into perspective, it would be very much appreciated.
Okay, Hannah, I give you more time, then I can start, okay? And you look in your books, what is the backlog for Q4? I think we have it in our reporting.
Yeah, okay.
So First of all, I need to correct myself. If I said SmartShift, then it's wrong because this is SmartField. SmartShift is a company which is also a partner of us. They name it SmartField.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
And Accenture, we are in deep discussion with Accenture regarding a couple of of models, but I cannot give you more details because we signed an NDA here. Accenture has also a partnership with DataWatt. When you look to the market, they use sometimes us, and they use sometimes DataWatt, and they use sometimes their own methodology. But I believe we are in a good way to make something good together here with them in the next couple of weeks. But this will maybe not something which is comparable to IBM because, and by the way, we are also changing our mind. So we said, okay, the future way how we sell our software deals to partners more towards this Miles & More model, which means we go more for subscription and we go more like, okay, if you do more customer deals with us and you do, let's say, 10 million revenue with us per year or 20 million revenue per year, you get better conditions on everything you consume with us. So that's a different model. And having this said, I think this is exactly the answer with Wipro. I had a couple of conversations with a lot of Indian players. They all talk to us, and we all talk to them. So Wipro is one of the, let's say, the fastest. We had long discussion with Cognizant. We have a discussion with TCS, Infosys, and others. The challenge is they are highly prepared to invest in educating their people. They pay for the training. They bring really opportunities on the table. But they are exactly in the model to say, hey, we are focusing on signing new customers together, but we will not do an upfront investment, which is good for us because this upfront investment was good at the beginning to get the market awareness and this kind of things. Now it's all about, at the end, we need to get real customer behind because otherwise this model will not fly. And this is our main focus now for the next 12 months to really get main customers. And we made good progress with a lot of customers. So, but that means you will see maybe one or two more deals in the next couple of weeks and months where we have upfront investments. But I forced my team to do upfront, to do company, let's say, licenses with companies like, for example, Daimler, VW, Bosch, and this kind of things. So with end customers, but with partners, I would like to go more to a real kind of subscription model.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and now it's time for the conservative guy. Yeah. I expect something between 3 and 5 million.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome.
Our next question is from Lucas Schwamm from Unolist. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Some quick follow-up on the Wipro partnership. It's hard to put Wipro in the classical partner status with gold partner or platinum partner or something like this, or how can we see the partnership with Wipro?
Wipro is a global partner for us, and they educated something like 40 people. They invest a lot of money in education and getting access to our software, so they will have access to our portal. And we do business planning together, so we have a defined pipeline, customer set, and this kind of things. The plan is to deliver something like 3 to 5 million revenue per year in year one, and then increasingly this, let's say, up to a 10 million runway. That means Wipro can be in 2.5 years from now, they can be, let's say, on the same size like IBM, but they do not do this upfront.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that means when they do the first deal, for example, they will get based on our software, the discount what we deliver on the software side will be, let's say, very limited at the beginning. So that means it is like miles and more. Yeah, when you fly more, you get better conditions, and that's a total typical. Let's say way how you can construct this. You can buy this upfront. You can be a senator from day one because you give us a revenue commitment, or you say, hey, I will be a senator in 18 months from now. And as you said, okay, we have enough upfront deals done. We need now to focus on really getting customers, let's say, win new customers together with partners. That is our main focus because this is at the end what is driving our growth.
Okay. And then if we look back to the Q2 conference call, Mr. Rees asked, for example, for names like Atos and Capgemini, and you answered him that you will close something in Q3. So we now didn't hear anything about one of them. So are there delays in the negotiations or... in general, or how can we see this topic?
I did not mention that we will do something with Capgemini. Capgemini just signed a partnership agreement with CBS. I think you have seen this in the market. But let me, I don't know how many people we have here on the call, but I can tell you is we know these guys. They decided against us because they were in a competition situation with IBM and us. And we signed this deal with IBM. This was a customer deal in Austria, which we signed with IBM and CBA. And I think Capgemini was a little bit frustrated because we did not offer them parallel that we also go to the customer together with Capgemini. But I'm pretty sure that this door will open again. The other Atos, we have a strong discussion. We just did the S/4HANA upgrade on the Atos owned SAP system, their own SAP system. We just finished the project a couple of weeks ago with high satisfaction of the CFO of Atos, and we are also in discussion about partnership agreements. But we did not push this in Q3. So we have good talks, and we have also already a couple of engagements.
Okay, and then Mr. Diefenbach also talked in the last call, I think, about possible company deals. What can you tell us about this topic?
You mean potential M&A acquisitions, yeah? Or
No, company deals. So not with partners, but with direct marketing, direct sales.
Yeah, we do have a good pipeline. Maybe Michael can add, and I would expect that we're gonna see a major deal in Q4.
We have an oral commitment, but we cannot tell you the name with one big customer there. SAP is doing the implementation, the S/4HANA implementation, but the customer said, okay, all the data transformation part he will do with S&P, and that's a major account, a major customer here in Germany.
Okay.
We see it. I think the deal will be signed in the next 2 weeks. The oral commitment and letter of intent we have already in house, but it is still under NDA.
Okay, so, and you will announce this deal?
I'm not sure if I announce this deal, but we will have this deal and you will hear it in Q4. I'm not a fan to announce everything, which is major for us. This is a five-year contract. It has a good software portion and an even better service portion. So it is really key, but I'm not sure if this is, I need to talk to Christoph and the team if this is something we need to announce. I'm in the same way conservative like Heiner. So I said, okay, let's do this in the background. But this is not the only one. We see more and more. Our strategy is to go through partner, number one. And number two is to win more customers, more big customers via a company license so that we have an enterprise-wide license for a customer like, for example, I just take a customer which we are not working with right now, RWE, for example. They have to say, hey, if they do carve-outs or something like this, something like Siemens is doing with us. Siemens is doing all carve-outs and all mergers. For example, this health engineer carve-out was done by us. So this kind of things is really great, because then we can train the customer. He can do, let's say, something like a shared service, and our software will be always part of this engagement. That means we do a good login. We do not need to recompete on each single project. That is the plan, to do this, let's say, with a lot of customers. Exactly what we did in Q2. You remember this Eli Lilly deal? This exactly is how Eli Lilly committed and signed the deal that they do, let's say, for the next 5 years, they do all the carve-outs and all the mergers based on S&P technology. This is much easier for us, because we cannot afford in 100 to 150 direct salespeople, at least not today. So if I can lock a customer, I do not need to take care too much on the sales side, only on the delivery side for this customer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then lastly, again to Mr. Diefenbach, in the last call, or you two, you both mentioned cost savings, and you also talked about cost savings in terms of external consultants of 800,000 per month. So so this is a number of 2.4 million per quarter. But if I look in the P&L, the decrease in material cost compared to Q2, but also Q3 2019, is not that much. So will this effect come in Q4, or how can we see this?
Yeah, it's some kind of a shift. Yeah, of course we have reduced, but we also have reduced service figures, service revenue. So part is of that, and then we keep investing in other topics, mainly in the R&D and sales arena. So it's a mixture. Maybe I can prepare a split for next time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you.
But I think we can say that what we have committed in terms of cost saving, we have delivered. We even have over delivered in this part. But when you look to our number, I do not have the HR number totally in mind right now, but we have roughly 60 people more compared to last year. So, and this was really a big discussion between Heiner and myself regarding, okay, we hired for a faster growth, and then Corona went up. What we did is we had all this cost to get the people on board, to hire the people, and we said, okay, what we will not do is we will not fire these people again. So we keep the people because we believe in the growth and this will come. What we did in parallel to get our workforce adjusted, we started the short-term work of 1 day in Germany, which we did, let's say, I think, Heiner, please correct me, we did it fully in Q3. We did it, I think, 2 months in Q2, right? And
yeah.
We did it, and we will do it most likely, let's say, for Q4. So this is how we balance it. But the cost you see in the balance sheet, that means we did all the cost saving. I'm not sure if we have, I think we have three or four people beside the, let's say, the auditor as an external consulting in the company. All the rest we moved out. And this was a real, let's say, tough exercise, but we did not decide to remove the people we hired for growth, because finding the right talent is important for us, and this fire and hire mentality would be, let's say, for sure, give us a very negative reputation. And as S&P acquiring the right talents is really key for us. So that means, Heiner, maybe you prepare a real table. What was your suggestion? But we delivered on the one side, but we also added cost on the other side, which. And then we had COVID in parallel, and this was giving us at the end, you would expect 2.4 million more profit, but this was eaten up by this investment on the other side.
And
okay.
You, yeah.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Our next question is from Yannick Deering from MainFirst. Please go ahead. Your line is now open. Are you maybe still on mute? Mr. Gearing?
Yes, can you hear me?
Perfect.
Okay, so now it's working?
Yes, perfect. We can hear you. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Okay, thank you. So I will just repeat it. Actually, in the meantime, my questions were already answered, so I would just like to ask for one clarification. You said that you expected around 10 million from IBM this year and that you recorded some 4 to 5 million. Is that correct, or what should we expect going forward then?
We had, you remember, this IBM deal was a 3-year contract, and we had 10 million per year. So we extended now the year one. The first year was already 18 months. So we extended the first year by additional 12 months, which is now 30 months. That means, and the 10 million we have shown already, that means we have still 5 million to deliver before we show any new revenue and any new profits additionally to the company. If everything would be without any issue, we would show by the end of this year additional 10 million revenue and profit from the I'm not sure if the profit would be also 10 million, but 10 million revenue from the IBM side. And since we had this challenge at the beginning, what I said, we agreed with IBM during summertime that we will extend the contract by 12 months. That means the commitment is still there, but this will happen now in 2021.
And Michael, may I add one thing? That the
sure.
10 million is US dollar. It's not euro, so for clarification.
Okay. For us, it's important to get this flying. And as I said, I'm really positive about the movement we have seen the last couple of months. So I think this will work. The good thing is, I do not have any doubt that this will not work. But I was also surprised, and I gave you sometimes a little bit of an indication that this partnership is good, but it is not easy to execute. And this has to do with exactly with the things I mentioned before. Okay, good. Thank you.
We have not received further questions. I will hand back to the speakers.
Yes. Thank you, operator. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us on that call and your interest in the story. If there are any questions unanswered, and you feel that you have afterwards one question that you didn't ask, just refer to Investor Relations. We were more than happy to help out. With that being said, we'll conclude the conference call. Thank you very much and goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.